Thanks for joining us again on Heart and Graft. Your support helps us to keep the message about being human at work going strong. Paradoxically, for a podcast about being human at work, today we're talking AI. And although I passionately believe that human beings are unique and a great many jobs can't be done without the human touch, the reality is AI is shaping the way we work. So it seems naive not to touch on that topic. Given that we're talking AI, I thought I would ask AI for guidance on how to introduce our guest today. So this is what AI gave me. It is an honour to welcome today's guest, Emanuela Giangregario, an internationally recognised project management trainer, coach and author, whose career spans over two decades, multiple industries and sectors. She guides organisations and teams to ethically and effectively integrate AI into daily work. Emanuela is known for her knack of making complex topics accessible and practical. She's trained thousands of professionals worldwide and authored books like Artificial Intelligence in Project Management and Practical Project Stakeholder Management, and most recently, AI Project Governance Framework. She remains at the forefront of helping people to harness both human and AI potential for genuine project success. And I am proud to call her my friend. That last bit was me, not AI. Emanuela, welcome to Heart and Graft.
Thank you, Nikki. I'm so happy to be here.
I'm so pleased that you agreed to come and talk to us. Obviously, I know a lot of your background as we've worked together delivering training, but I'm interested, and I think the audience will be, as a trainer, it's a very human-focused thing. So what drew you to AI? Professions like ours are very human-centric, and how did AI come into the mix for you?
So running various training courses, including topics on project management, I couldn't ignore AI when OpenAI dropped ChatGPT at the end of 2022, and then I started playing with it in 2023. And yeah, for me, it was clear that this is going to be a very able assistant. And I wanted to stay ahead of the curve. Nikki, I remember when email first came out in the 90s. Some of your listeners might not remember that. But yeah, email came out in the 90s. And quite often, when technology leaps ahead, regulatory frameworks lag behind. And so I remember I was part of a team where email was adopted, it was rolled out, and then there was lots of incidents around improper use, emails being CC'd to the wrong people and not being able to be recalled back, etc. So I, for me, decided this time around, I want to stay ahead of the curve. And honestly, I'm not ahead. I'm constantly catching up. I just dove right into it. And for me, the best way to research and fully know a topic is to write a book about it. So the book that you mentioned about the AI assisted project manager, that was basically me figuring out exactly how can we use AI in projects. And that's really how I got into it.
Ah, it's become very prominent in the last year or so. Certainly I've noticed more and more AI, but it's easy to forget that it's actually been around for years now as open source, as you said.
So yeah, OpenAI dropped ChatGPT, but actually AI has been around since the 1960s. Geoffrey Hinton, who's one of the godfathers of AI, was working with his colleagues, and they're the ones that actually created AI. So it's been around since the 1960s and then obviously evolved. But over the years, as computing power increased substantially and the ability to have then massive data sets, companies like OpenAI were able to create ChatGPT, and you can see the race is on.
You mentioned when you were talking back then about your career in project management and training in project management, which is quite a process orientated task. So I guess I can see how AI might play into that. Many of our listeners might not necessarily be dedicated project managers, but they might well be involved in task and finish type groups, which essentially are projects. So What sort of things can AI help us with when we're doing those kind of task and finish or even bigger scale projects?
Traditionally, when I used to talk about the importance of stakeholder management and how we need to build relationships and prioritize those sorts of things, I would often get, yes, but we don't have the time because I'm so busy doing project management stuff on top of everything else, the delivery, but also the administration around it. So now with AI assistance, we can actually free up time. So at the start of a project, we might need to write a business case. You can use an AI assistant to help you draft that business case. And it's not copy and paste. It's going to get it to your first draft. And then, of course, you can tidy it up. Throughout the project lifecycle, there's drafting business cases, project charters, risk assessments, stakeholder mappings, all those sorts of things that take time. The dreaded monthly status report that people need to produce in these very large projects. So when people can use AI to assist them in projects, it's like having a junior apprentice. That then frees up project managers to focus on the all important stakeholder management, whether these are internal or external stakeholders, building relationships, really drawing people into projects. And that's really how I see AI being a good assistant, really freeing up time to focus on the people side.
I have two questions that flow from that. And one of them is, I think you've partially answered it, is do you think AI could ever replace human project managers? But also there was something in my head when you were talking and I was thinking back to the many project status updates I have written over the years. And I'm wondering, how would AI do that? Because isn't a lot of that information in our heads? How would one use AI to do project updates?
I'll answer your second question first, which is absolutely correct. It's not going to do it 100%, but it can take all your project data, so your risk logs, your issue logs, all the baseline data that you have, and consolidate a report. The key issues, the key risks, the key milestones, and where we're at with all of that. But it still requires you, the human project manager, who has the ability to put things together and nuance it contextually, right? AI assistance should never be a copy and paste exercise. AI has done the report and yeah, I'm going to send it to my manager. Absolutely not. But it certainly can take a lot of the admin burden away. And I've worked with people where we've noticed at least 50% of the time is saved. So it's not 100%, but 50% is a good time saving, right? If something takes you an hour and you only spend half an hour doing it, scale that up over a year and that's a lot of time saved.
I remember projects I've been involved in where it felt like the whole thing became about producing documents, not delivering outcomes. So yeah. It sounds like that could actually be a massive win.
Yeah, for sure. That time saving, therefore, can then be used for what people say, I never have time to do, which is the stakeholder management and building relationships and dealing with resistance to change and those sorts of things.
Where people might worry that AI is making projects more impersonal, is actually it's giving us the opportunity to make them more personal.
Should be. Yeah. Gartner is a big research organization, which some of your listeners might be aware of. And they have predicted that by 2030, 80% of project management will be done by AI.
Wow.
Yeah. Now, that does not mean we don't need project managers and project teams and that sort of thing, right? But what it does mean is that the administration burden is going to be substantially freed up. Allowing project managers to be more strategic thinkers, critical thinkers, and I keep on harping on about stakeholder management and working with the people side of things. People in working on projects or leading projects really need to, if they haven't, they need to catch up to keep up and stay ahead in this world of AI-assisted project management.
Presumably that has then a knock-on effect for people in project administrative roles if a lot of that work's going to go.
Yeah.
So the reality is, I think AI will replace some jobs.
The reality is AI will automate many jobs. So there will be job displacement. And for people to figure out how can they, first of all, embrace AI. So learn as much as you can, but within your field. For example, I'm totally not interested in programming AI tools and those sorts of things, right? But within your field, just be curious, learn and figure out how you can pivot your career so that you can use all the knowledge and wisdom you've gained up until now and apply it in a more strategic value-added way using AI. The concern about job displacement is a big concern for a lot of people. And a lot of the people I follow are talking about this 2030. By then, lots of things will happen. And I do feel that there will be many jobs displaced by 2030, but also new jobs created. As an example, one of my friends found herself redundant, and it was pretty much because that job was no longer needed. She's also a qualified lawyer. And I said to her, have you thought of becoming an AI ethics advisor? It was something she never thought of. Perfect. She's got the legal degree. She understands that world. She also, for about 5 years, was working in employment, diversity and inclusion. So combine that with knowledge about AI ethics. So for her, she'd need to do a training course and scale up in AI ethics. And so that's really what I'm talking about. One would need to invest in a bit of extra learning to pivot your career and double down on what you already know with this new knowledge to then put yourself into these new jobs.
So it feels like if I was someone working, or one of our listeners working in HR at the moment, and you've got people in your organizations who fulfill that project administration role, that maybe right now is the time to be exposing those project administrators to AI to upskill them so they're ready to use those techniques and skills, perhaps to share your book with them, so they're not frightened of AI, and as AI becomes more prominent, they're ready to adapt and grow with it rather than not be prepared.
Absolutely. And the net needs to go beyond project management. So anyone in HR or in learning and development, if they haven't yet, they really need to understand what their workforce is going to be looking like by 2030 and provide learning pathways for people to embrace using the AI tools and help them pivot their careers. Various clients I'm working with, most of them have not even given their teams any form of AI training. The training has been around ethical use, not actually how to use the tool. So I found myself running a project management training session and actually showing how to use AI when that was never part of the thing, because people have not been given any sort of training around how to use the tools. So yeah, just giving people tools. Oh, here's Copilot, here's ChatGPT or our enterprise GPT. Off you go, play with it. People are like, I don't know. So what they do is they still revert to the old Excel spreadsheets and the old ways of working because they've not had the training. And one quick thing on that one is I also encourage people to take ownership and learn for themselves, right? Don't wait for your company to train you, because that might not happen. But learning development, please get those training programs out there so people are equipped to use the tools and also help them in learning pathways to pivot their career. But individuals listening to this, please take ownership and learn for yourself as well.
Where would you recommend individuals go? Because as you say, a lot of organizations aren't yet providing that. But if people are hungry to use AI, where would they go?
Yeah, and there's so many different places. And the reason I can't give you like one answer, one place to go, is because it depends. Am I working in a call center? Am I working in finance? Or am I in project management? Am I in a more technical role? So I would say go on to a large language model like ChatGPT or Gemini or Perplexity or any of those, and put in this prompt: I am a job title. I would like to learn about how I can use AI to assist me in my work and also how I can pivot my career so that I am future-proof by 2030, and get some guidance on that one. So ask for podcasts and newsletters and those sorts of things. I personally listen to podcasts and also get newsletters from some people on LinkedIn. Through that, I stay up to date with tools and things. But I think, yeah, this is not a one-size-fits-all answer.
No, just on that, the thing I'd add to the end of your AI query about how can I pivot my career, I'd be tempted to put in how I want to learn. Do I like podcasts? Am I looking for an online course, a free online course? Am I best with a webinar or a YouTube video?
Definitely.
Or a book, even, maybe. Yeah. A book written by someone called Emanuela, perhaps.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's an excellent thing to put at the end, is your learning style and where you'd like to digest that information.
When people come to learning, what kind of misconceptions do people come with? Most of us have seen Terminator, and that is the extreme end. But what misconceptions do you come across?
There are extremes. I would say, on the one hand, people actually don't really have that much faith in AI because they've played with it and it's not given them the results they want. But actually, with any tool, what you put in affects what you get out. So most often, when they see how they can use it better, then they get the results. So the extremes that I've had is from it's rubbish, it's no good, to what's the point? It's going to take my job anyway. So your question was about misconceptions, right? I'm just going to reflect on my most recent courses over the last few weeks. And it's generally, there's a lack of faith in AI's ability to properly assist them. In management training, we used to talk about delegating and the importance of effective delegation. Yep. The main reasons why people don't delegate is it's quicker to do it myself.
Yep.
This is a misconception that people often have. It's quicker to do it myself. And so all the good skills that we taught on how to delegate effectively, copy and paste that to how to delegate effectively with AI, right? If you just say to somebody, can you please produce this report for me? and they've not done it before, they don't know your style, they're new to your management style, etc., they're going to give you something which is substandard. And so I would say learn how to delegate to people effectively and apply that exact same principle to how you use AI.
That's a gem of a tip, Emanuela. I was just thinking about how I used to teach delegation training and the importance of a good briefing and making sure that you're specific about what you want. And all of that applies to AI.
Yeah. I've watched people, their prompts sometimes are two sentences. And I show them many of my prompts are like a whole page. I'll open up a document and write out my prompt and get it properly crafted. And that's almost like the best part of an A4 page. And then you get the results you want.
One of the things I did was ask AI who I was. And apparently I was a country and Western singer in America. And I kept saying, no, Nicki McCrudden is not a country and Western singer. And I checked, there aren't any. And I think about six different people it described me as, until eventually it twigged who I was. About a week ago when we were planning this conversation, I asked the same question and it actually immediately came back with who I was. So AI does learn. Your tip about treating it like a junior member of staff is really valuable because it will make mistakes. But if you tell it, it's made mistakes, it will learn.
Absolutely. So effective delegation and giving feedback. So you've trained people on how to give feedback effectively, exactly the same with AI.
So we're talking about AI as almost like our apprentice in the office. How do you see the partnership with AI and human beings playing out? In your imagination, how does it work?
A combination of the apprentice example, also mentors. You can have a mentor, more mentors as well. For me, I use AI as an assistant, so an administrative assistant, and also as a mentor. You can use it as a coach. You mentioned I published the AI Project Governance Framework. It's a framework to govern how AI is used in projects and programs. And the three principles which form the foundation of the framework are human centricity. So everything needs to be human centric. Transparency, explainable and auditable, and adaptable, because AI adoption varies, how people are using AI and how much they're using, and it will scale, but also AI itself is advancing at a rapid pace. So for me, the best way to collaborate with AI is to have those principles as the foundation for how we work: human centricity, transparency, and adaptability. And those are brought to life through five core values. And for me, these five core values, if we can have them agreed in project teams at kickoff or even outside of project environments, I would say this really helps people have something that they can then use to grow with how they use AI.
What are the big risks? The immediate one that leaps out to me is obviously when you share, and as an academic researcher, we're obviously not allowed to share participant data and upload it to AI.
Yeah.
Because that data may well be used for future training of AI.
Correct.
Data management is one issue. Do you have any tips for that? And are there other risks that we should be aware of?
Yes, I think data management is one of the key things, because right now, data is the currency. For many organizations, that's what they're all after. You see it all the time with adverts, right? They're wanting your information. And so there's a data you picked on the biggest thing. And I was surprised, Nicki, actually, a couple of months ago, I asked Gemini, which is a large language model owned by Google. And I said to it, are you aware of my book, The AI Project Governance Framework? And it said, yes, I am. I said, please. And I asked it to share some of the contents, and it gave me more than what was actually available on my website and on LinkedIn and those sorts of things. So I was like, have you read the book? I think I used the word processed. It said yes. And I was like, I didn't give you permission. So there's small print everywhere, right? So the key thing is be very clear about the data that you need to keep private and don't put it out there on any open source large language model. Organizations that have an enterprise GPT. So for example, one of my clients has an enterprise version of ChatGPT. Everything is safe under the hood. I'm banging on about this data thing because it's the key thing, right? Client data, personal data privacy really needs to be secured.
And I'm thinking if any of our listeners are HR and they're thinking of using AI in HR type projects, that's a really important thing to understand, that when you upload.
Yeah. So understand who's the data owner. Because we have multiple data owners in organizations, and then understand what are we able to use and what needs to be blacked out, for example. So you can still use AI, but you can take out names and those sorts of things.
Am I right in thinking that you can also tell the AI platform you're using that you don't want it to save your data and use it for learning?
You can. So quite often there'll be a settings, for example, in ChatGPT, you can go into settings and configure those sorts of things. I just err on the side of caution. And I'd rather not put anything confidential out there because, again, there could be a new version of the model and then you might have to go back into the settings. And I would just say, if you have that in the back of your mind all the time, be cautious about the data that you put out there. Then you don't have to think about which tool you need to configure again and again.
It's thinking about it almost like we would with GDPR.
Yeah.
Who am I talking to on the phone? What can I share with them? So before I go to ChatGPT or whatever platform I'm using, take out anything personally identifiable, share that.
Yeah.
I have learned so much from our conversation already, and I'm thinking back to when I first started McCrudden training and thinking how beneficial it would have been as a small business to have effectively a free administrator. So I'm thinking a lot of our listeners who might be running small businesses themselves have this advantage, but as you said, being accountable for the results that come out of it, being sensible and using your experience and also mindful of sharing data. Yeah. But I wonder, I'm going to put you on the spot. If I were to ask you for your top two or three tips for any of our listeners who are thinking about dipping their toe in the AI water, what would your advice be?
Dipping their toe, meaning that they haven't really engaged that much with AI?
Yeah. Yeah. So it's quite new. I've heard about AI. I might have asked it to generate some fun images of my cats or something like that, but not used it for work.
So again, whether they are using Copilot, ChatGPT, Gemini, those three large language models, Perplexity is a great tool, but that's great for research and those sorts of things. But let's just go with ChatGPT, Gemini, Copilot, and also Claude, right? So those four large language models. Depending on your learning style and how much patience you have. So one thing you could do is watch some YouTube video clips that teach you how to use AI. So choose a platform, and if your organization restricts certain ones, go with the one that they say you can use, and then watch videos. And I've learned a lot from doing that. The other thing I've done, which is a great time saver, is actually prompt the AI. Tell it what you want. So for example, I'm fairly new to using this tool. This is my job. So give it a sort of a basic understanding of what your job is and the industry that you're working in, and provide a tutorial for me to learn how to make the best use of you so that I can save time and increase my productivity.
I love that. Learn how to use AI by using AI.
Yeah. I often ask the AI to give me the prompt I need to give it to get the best results. So people struggle on their own figuring it out. And it's just, this is how I end up with these one-page prompts, because I've learned from the AI when I've asked it to teach me how to prompt it properly. I've learned through that process. So you ask the AI to teach you to use it.
This feels like coaches would be instinctively good at this, because instead of asking the question, they're going to say, what question do I need to ask in order
to... Yeah, Socratic coaching.
Oh, fabulous. I love those. Thank you, Emanuela. Now, before we wrap up, I'd love for you to share a quote that resonates with you, something that sings to you that might remind us of the power and importance of being human at work, even though we've been talking about AI.
Love quotes. The one I'm going to share with you today is one from Maya Angelou. And for people that don't know, she was an American civil rights activist. And she said that people will forget what you said. People will forget what you did. But people will never forget how you made them feel. I know that to be true for myself. I know also when I get feedback from training courses where people had the most fun, or they were touched by something really meaningful, or they had an aha moment and they felt inspired or empowered, they had the best experience.
Just thinking about our whole conversation today about AI is the human beings are doing the feeling stuff, where AI is doing the what you say. We will forget what AI does, but we will never forget the people that we worked with.
Absolutely. And I see a real opportunity for increased human connection and proximity, because we will value more the human interpersonal connections at work, whilst AI can do the heavy lifting of the doing. We can do the being.
Oh, that's a profound way to end. Thank you so much. I have gained so much from listening to you talk, and I'm looking forward to learning more about the AI framework. Thanks for sharing your wisdom, Emanuela. And I'm wondering from our audience, what has most struck you about this conversation? And if it's inspired you to maybe have a go with AI for the first time, or perhaps honed your skills, Emanuela, obviously we've mentioned that your books, which are available on Amazon, but if our listeners want to connect with you or follow up, what's the best way for people to reach out?
Yeah, LinkedIn probably would be the best. So find me on LinkedIn if you just type my name into LinkedIn, or you can find the link in the podcast summary below.